Om Jnanatimirandhasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shrishtam Manamapi Shakti Putra Matra Surupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtapatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhava Sham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tandatosmi Vande ham Shri Guru Shri Atafparikamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagara Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakarnitam Shantakaram Bhujagashayanam Padmanabham Suresham Vishvadharam Gagana Sadrisham Megavarnam Shubhangam Lakshmi Kantam Kamalanayanam Yogibhi Dhyana Gamyam Vande Vishnum Bhavabhayaharam Saravalokaikanatham Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare I've been speaking on Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, which by discussing the names of Vishnu, we meditate on his qualities, pastimes, forms. It's the central topic of Srimad Bhagavatam is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this gives impetus to surrender to him for those who are on the path of surrendering to him, and pleasure to those who are pure devotees. This is Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, the scientific delineation of the science of Godhead. Name 115 is Rudra. This name is commonly associated with Lord Shiva. But all names are names of Vishnu originally. Whatever names others may have, they do so because they personify or exemplify certain particular qualities of Vishnu. So Shiva is called Rudra. Rodati iti Rudra. Who cries is called Rudra. Or also who makes others cry is known as Rudra. So similarly, there is Indra, means the ruler. So that is a name of Vishnu, but it's associated with Indra, the king of heaven, because he performs that function, he specifically performs that function within a limited sphere. So all the Indra is Indra, Rudra is Rudra, Brahma is Brahma, but all of these names belong to Vishnu. And Indra is not Rudra, Rudra is not Indra. But all of these names are names of Vishnu. And he, although other empowered living beings may exemplify certain qualities of the Lord within a limited sphere by which they are known by certain names, only he is the complete exemplifier of all these qualities and has all these qualities, which certain demigods, they may have certain qualities, but only Vishnu has them all. So Rudra, one who makes others cry. Now generally we think of God as one who is very sweet and nice, at least in Vaishnava tradition. not one who's crying. Why should God cry? He's always happy. Well, there are tears of joy also. And even if Krishna sometimes appears to be distressed, we should understand, what is that distress? Ananda chinmaya rasa. That is blissful, a taste of spiritual ecstasy. So in this world there is happiness and distress, but it's all distress. Even the apparent happiness is distress. But in spiritual existence, there's also happiness and distress, but it's all bliss. Just as materialistic people, they cannot understand how the happiness of this world is actually distress. They think that, well, if I can go surfing in a nice sunny day, or yesterday I saw on the plane a German newspaper, just someone sitting, I just came from Berlin. So I don't understand German language, but you could see there was someone had won 10 million euros in a lottery. So the husband and wife they're looking very happy. But it's all distress. Those who have the vision of Shastra vision, well, Shastra tells us this place is Dukhalayam, the place of misery. And that's to be realized also when one becomes not simply Shastravit or Tattvavit. Then when one actually has realization, not simply book knowledge, then he can see how this happiness, it's so that people think they're happy because they got money, which they could think of as a cause of extra, heightened sense gratification. But it's simply distress, that's all. This yehi sangsparsha ja bhoga dukha yonya evate adyanta vanta kontiyana teshu ramate buddha. This sense gratification is beginning, middle, and end. It's all simply cause of distress. And even if you think that's happiness, what a petty happiness. Petty and miserable, which even the pigs, they can enjoy without winning any lottery. So in spiritual existence, there is apparent distress also, but it's all happiness. So Krishna, he sometimes cries and causes others to cry. Of course, tears are not always of distress. They're tears of happiness also. So generally the devotees and Krishna, they cry in happiness. That is... that's repeatedly stated in Shastra. Rudati unmadavan nrityati lokabhaya. That's one of the qualities of a pure devotee. They cry. Crying here meaning with tears coming from the eyes. So they cry in happiness on contemplation of Krishna or attaining Krishna. But there's also the tears of distress. When devotees are separated from Krishna, they feel great distress. Krishna is supreme. That means he's supremely happy. He can confer the highest bliss on everyone. But as he's supreme, he can also confer the highest distress. Rudra, Shiva, is known as Rudra. He gives distress. Similarly, Ravana, the name is similarly derived. Who gives distress? Who makes all the worlds cry? So Ravana's way of making others cry, that is not comparable to that of Krishna. He He is, Ravana is a typical demon. He is paradukha sukhi. Takes pleasure in seeing others unhappy. Which makes us wonder what kind of religion some people are following. They say, well, God is one under different names, but I don't know. I mean, the Christian conception of God and that of Krishna, it's not exactly the same. This Thomas Aquinas, the great theologian of the Christian tradition, he speculated that what happiness do the good Christians get on going to heaven? They have the happiness at looking down at all those who go to hell and watching them, how they're suffering eternally. So, is that godly or demoniac? Anyway, I won't comment. You can decide. It doesn't tally with that of Krishna, who is Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. He's the great friend of everyone. Yeah, and who can cause us most distress? Rudra, Shiva causes distress by destroying all the worlds. Where there's destruction, there we understand Rudra is present. If there's an earthquake or a volcano or some bombs are dropped, terrorism, Rudra, the Rudra principle is there, the principle of destruction which causes distress, that is present. But who can cause most distress? If some terrorists come and blow up a whole block in Los Angeles and so many people die, that will cause great distress, is it not? Who can cause the greatest distress to someone? What do you think? Not your enemy, your friend. Those you love can cause the most distress. Because your enemy, well, if it's your enemy, well, they certainly can cause distress to you. That's what the enemy, that's practically the definition of an enemy. One who wishes you harm, or one who wishes to push you down. But the friend can cause more hurt. That's stated in Mahabharata, that the arrows of an enemy, they cannot cause as much pain as the sharp words of one who is loved. So for giving pain, Krishna has the most facility because he's the most loved. And we see that in Krishna's pastimes. He leaves the rasa dance, leaves the gopis. They left everything to come to him. And then suddenly he left them. And then he left Vrindavan altogether. So what pains, descriptions of the traumatized state of the residents of Vrindavan after Krishna had left. That is given in Shastra. And we, in the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, are enjoined to attempt to come to the platform of the residents of Vrindavan who have to suffer so much because Krishna has left them. If Krishna was not loved by them so much, then his going away wouldn't cause so much pain, but it does because he loves them and they love him. But this, we should understand, this is the highest bliss. Srila Prabhupada commented on this in one lecture about Lord Chaitanya crying. And the Mayavadis think, what is this crying? He's supposed to be spiritually advanced and then again crying, but they do not understand that the crying of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the highest bliss. So Krishna makes others cry. It's all bliss. Of course, he also makes others cry. Those who are demoniac, they have to cry. They have to suffer. Krishna doesn't confer punishment on others directly, but he does it through the medium of Rudra, Shiva, and his wife, Durga. But ultimately everything is coming from him, just like if one gets a benediction from demigods, that's ultimately given by Krishna. The demigods have no independent power to give anything to anyone. So similarly, the punishment of this world, of that is given by Krishna, ultimately. Now people, they are punished, and they think this is something very nasty, that we shall have to suffer in some hellish condition. Why does Krishna give that, if he loves us? Because he loves us. Actually, what is the distress of this world? Ultimately, the distress is being separated from Krishna. That is the distress. We are automatically in a distressful condition. We cannot be happy if we are separated from Krishna. If we choose to separate ourselves from Krishna, we must suffer. Just the very fact that we're separated from Krishna means that's a suffering condition. It's an unnatural position, which we cannot be happy. But we have the ambition to enjoy. And so the whole material world is set up to give some facility to attempt the impossible, which is to be happy without Krishna. And in the material world, there are so many, we may think some happy situation, winning the lottery. We may think that is happy. That's also suffering. And there are other situations which are directly gross suffering. Sufferings in hell, sufferings in pain, disease, old age, this is all suffering. Why? Why is that? That's just to, the material energy is just helping to remind us that our real distress is separation from Krishna. We're supposed to be with Krishna. This pain of the material world is only symptomatic of our real distress, which is that we are separated from Krishna. That's not the birth, death, old age, and disease are not in and of themselves the problem. The real problem is that we're separated from Krishna. But because we're separated from Krishna, we don't have the inclination to serve Krishna, then we take it that birth, death, old age, and disease are miserable. And they are miserable. But that our real, cause of our distress, or the fact of our distress, is because we are separated from Krishna. So really, if we say that Krishna causes others to suffer, that's not correct, actually. We cause our own suffering. Purusha sukha dukhanam bhuktritvehi turuchite. Because we've taken the position of an enjoyer of this world, we cause our own so-called happiness within it, and very definite distress within it. It's our own fault. Krishna facilitates that. If we want to be miserable in this material world, or rather if we want to be happy without Krishna, which means that is not possible, then Krishna facilitates some semblance of happiness, but there's no actual happiness in this material world. So Krishna, the quite opposite to the misconception and speculation of the Mayavadis, Krishna consciousness or spiritual life is all about crying. It's all material life also. Material life means that there's an ocean of tears. There's an ocean of distress. And there's another ocean, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the nectarian bliss of pure devotional service to Krishna. So Krishna is inviting us to that ocean. And when we go there, what shall we do? In that nectarian ocean, we shall cry. It's crying. either crying out of the distress of this material world or crying in the bliss of love of Krishna. And that love of Krishna, that's different phases. Being with Krishna, and how blissful. At last, we have seen Krishna, think the devotees who didn't see him for the last 15 minutes or so. But for them, yugayatam nimeshena chakshusha pravrishayatam shunyayatam jagat sarvam govinda virahena mele. For them, for 15 minutes, for these pure devotees not to see Krishna, that's eternity multiplied by infinite time multiplied by infinity. It seems that time will never end. Even a moment seems to drag on. Then again we see Krishna, and the joy knows no bounds. So when there is great emotion, whether it be anger or distress or love, then tears automatically spring from the eyes. So Krishna is one of the names that's come here. Well, there have been several. Samatma. These names have just been there, which means Krishna is equipoised. So that's one feature of him. He's equipoised. He's aloof. He's equal to all, but he's also the most intense person. He has an intense desire to have an intense relationship with every single being. Eko Bahusyam. The one, Krishna, expands himself into unlimited jivas just so that he can enjoy. What a desire to enjoy. We have a desire to enjoy. We think we'll be happy. 10,000 euros, you win on the lottery. And we think that's great. But Krishna has such an appetite for enjoyment that he expands himself into unlimited numbers of jivas, and he wants to have an intense relationship with every single one of them. An intense relationship that causes himself and others to cry in bliss. So Krishna is no small timer, that's for sure. Whatever he does, it's all intense. So he's bringing tears to the eyes. So we should aspire for that. I remember this must have been many years ago, when I had just shortly after I'd been allowed to join this movement, this Gurudas, I think you know him, I think he's in San Francisco based now. So he was there in London, and he said that the success of our movement will be when someone has to be appointed to wipe up all the water after all the kirtans. There should be pools of water from the tears the devotees are crying in kirtan. So of course, we're not supposed to also. That's another consideration. If we're so fortunate to come to that platform, but we're not supposed to show it also, lest it be taken as something cheap and others imitate. And actually, anyone who's in Krishna consciousness, even not or attempting to pursue Krishna consciousness, everyone must have had this experience many times, that it doesn't happen all the time, but from time to time Krishna gives us a blast of bliss, isn't it? And then we get a little taste of what it means to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness, and tears come to the eyes, maybe very sudden, maybe in kirtan, maybe just reading something, maybe just any time. Krishna gives a blast of bliss. And then Chokhe Dhara, this tears flow from the eyes. So we can remember that when Maya seems very attractive to us, or more attractive than usual, and we can remember there's no bliss there. Those little, just opening the window a little bit to look into, Krishna gives us a little look into the spiritual world. This is where we're going. This is where we want to bring others with us also. The land of pure bliss, where crying is normal. Crying tears of happiness, constant tears of happiness. So that's Krishna is rewarding his devotees with bliss. Rewarding not in the sense of materialistic people think, well, I did something, now God has to reward me. But Krishna out of his kindness. When we say he wants to enjoy so many living beings, means that Krishna himself is so blissful and he wants to share that bliss and imbue every living being with extreme bliss. That is Krishna. This is how he makes others cry. And Rudra of this material world, he makes them cry for their own bad activities of not remembering Krishna. And thus they are destroyed. Again and again, they're destroyed. All their hopes, ambitions, and dreams, they build up, and then again, smashed. Death. Mrityu sarvaharashchaham. Krishna makes the demons and atheists, they cry because all they're attached to, everything they think is theirs, everything by which they measure their prestige, their whole existence they define in terms of their body and their possessions. And it's all smashed, it's all destroyed, it's all taken away. And they cry. And Krishna makes us cry because we have nothing but him. We have no dhanam, janam, sundari, no interest in anything of this world. Just Krishna, 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 Krishna. So Krishna is the right person to cry for. We may cry for others also. We may cry for, my mother died, my dog died, my donkey died. That Srila Prabhupada told that story. Sargal Singh, the donkey, died. And then the whole town was lamenting. And why are you lamenting? So Sargal Singh died. Who's Sargal Singh? A donkey. Oh, they didn't realize. So we may cry. In happiness also, our local boy won the sprint in the Olympics. So crying, I don't think people cry in happiness for that. I don't know. Did they cry in happiness for anything? I think you're not supposed to cry too much in America, right? It's considered, it's like a very macho culture here, so crying is not allowed much. But there are tears of happiness in this material world also. I guess people go to movies, right? There used to be movies in which people, like the, what's that called? The Sound of Music, and something like that. So people might cry in happiness. I don't think they make movies like that anymore, do they? It's just, I don't know. I haven't been to a movie in years. Either happiness or distress, this world is full of tears, mostly tears of distress, but it's all distress. But Krishna, people ask, what is the aim of your movement? What do you get for all this? Our aim is that we shall cry eternally. That also. We shall cry eternally, tears of happiness. And with tears also come Roman Chakal, what is this? This Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nritya Gita. Vaditramadhyan manasorasena romanchakam pashu taranga bhaja. So this naturally with tears come hairs of the body standing on end, trembling, paleness of the body, collapse means just collapse, just fall down. So all these are symptoms of pure love of Krishna. These are important to understand that this is a gift from Krishna. Krishna makes his devotees cry. Not that that's to be imitated, or that by imitation we can somehow come to that platform. Of course, we're asked to chant and dance. Actual dancing that comes from pure ecstasy. What is that? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, "Stirna hoite pare charan." When chanting the names of Krishna, I can't keep my feet still. So that's real dancing. The feet just move by themselves. So that's real ecstasy. But we're asked to chant the names, dance for the pleasure of Krishna, and then all these symptoms will come. So crying, that's when we say Krishna makes us cry, that includes all the other symptoms. Ashta Shatvik Vika, the different eight principal forms or manifestations of ecstasy, of one who's actually getting Krishna's mercy, who's experiencing the bliss of Krishna consciousness. So, Bhagavatam also states that if we don't cry, then we're just completely useless. What is that verse?
The heart is still.
Yeah, how does that begin? Tadashru saram hridayam batedam. I don't remember. Anyway, that ashra, the tears. If we don't cry for Krishna, that means our heart must be made out of steel, hard. So like that, I was saying, America, macho culture, like that, is considered be hard and strong. But our Vaishnava culture is just the opposite. Be soft and strong, but soft-heartedness, that is wanted, soft-heartedness. In soft heart, that is the symptom of love of God, that the heart is very soft. Another meaning of Rudra, I don't know if I have time to get into this. Actually, I have to go. So, Hare Krishna. If I start this, I won't finish in time. Then I'll be late for the plane. So, Hare Krishna. Is anyone crying in ecstasy? No, tears didn't come to my eyes. A good speaker is one that makes others cry. But not false emotion. If one can actually induce others to surrender to Krishna, then that is the success. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. Sri Rukmini Dwarkadish Ki Jai. Jagannath Subhadra Baladev Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Maharani Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.